week is going to be a real fun time. And I told Aaron, take me off that I'm going to be speaking next Thursday night, because I think we'll just get together and eat. Now, if that's not spiritual enough for you, I'll give you your own Bible study, but, you know, I think it's just appropriate next. We'll pray for people, but everything will be over in the parking lot. It'll be great. It'll be fun. I told Jeff tonight, we're going to have this big grill that we have, and we're going to provide hot dogs and food, but if any of you, and I'm going to say this on Sunday too, if any of you, now, nobody makes a better grill fire than Jeff and Ben Martin. Those two guys, it'll be perfect. So, saying all that, if you don't like hot dogs, which many people don't, I love them, but I don't eat them. At least I try not to. Maybe you have a filet mignon or a porterhouse you just like to bring over and put on that. You're welcome to do that. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Jeff's up there. Yeah. Probably be the biggest Thursday night we've had in a long time, but it'll be good. Okay. So tonight, I want to share something with you that I think will be a great blessing to you. And I just been thinking all week, and I woke up when I was on my way to the gym this morning. I just felt the Lord speak to me to share something with people that this is what I called it. What do you do when you've tried everything, but you're still stuck? So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to share a scripture. I'm going to just share five little thoughts. I'm going to share another scripture, a couple thoughts on that. And then I'm going to just close with three remarks on that scripture. This is going to help some of you tonight. I did this other little research just before. I've always known this. University of Southern California psychologists have found that during a lecture or when communication, that people that take notes not only have a better learning and understanding, but it also helps embed information for future reference. Okay? So, you say, well, I don't like to. Okay. You don't have to, but there's some great things here tonight. And yes, you can go back and listen to it on the website later, but I always make sure that I'm writing something that I don't care. If you've got the back end of a register receipt that you just write on, but it's always healthy, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. I just ask you, Lord, that you will anoint your word, that it will not be man's words, it will be your word, and that you will be honored and glorified. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just give you a couple scriptures that I want you to look at. If you have your Bible, they're going to be up on the screen too. In Matthew 6, 25 through 33. And so I'm going to be reading a few of them. This is going to be a great night. Turn to your neighbor, just say, it's going to be good. Don't worry. So when you've tried everything, but you're still hung up, you're still stuck. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 6. He said, don't worry about your life. Easier said than done. Right, Lord? He said, look at the birds of the air. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. If God so clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you? Now, he's not telling you not to wear clothes. He's just telling you, don't get uptight about some things that we do get uptight about. And here's where it is. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And he says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And how many of you know that that's true? So here's five things that I want to give you from this. And I'm just going to give you another scripture that I really want to zone in on. But these five things they're pretty important. Number one, in our lives, when we feel that we're stuck and we can't move out, we have to see things from God's perspective. Listen, a great deal of our stress can be minimized by viewing things from God's perspective, from a godly perspective about what it is that's going on in and around our lives. And we fail to perceive our life situations at any point when we don't look at them through the lens of how God is going to look at them. And then we become susceptible to all kinds of stress, all kinds of pressure, all kinds of pains. Romans 8:28 says we know that all things work together. We know that. We don't know it sometimes, but here's where the scripture comes in to say, and you have to lay the scripture over your issues and your challenges sometimes to understand and to get a better perspective. He says, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, could God be using your issue and your trouble for something good in your life? Maybe God, you know, you're like a friend of mine, his car died and he's wondering what was going to happen until God gave him a new car. Come on, I ought to hear at least one amen in this house tonight. So you got to see things from God's perspective. Two, you have to learn to deal with unresolved issues and conflicts in your life. I just had this conversation with another pastor friend of mine today. And this is in particular for leaders, but this everyone in here, you have a leadership capacity in your life. When you don't deal with things that you know need to be dealt with, and you let them go on and on and on, they become bigger in your life, and they begin to press on you and push on every issue in your life. Hebrews 12, he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The reason that we have a challenge and a struggle with running is because sometimes we get so bogged down with all the stuff and the junk in our lives that we haven't learned to lay it aside yet. Hello, are you listening to me tonight? I had this conversation with another person this week, and they were telling me about, I got this going on. And they were, as they were telling me, they wanted me to take this on myself and let their problem and their burden be my problem. And I've got an answer for that. I said it, you know, there comes a point within the day, it's not at a certain time, but there comes a point within the day that when my day is over with, I'm not taking your problem or anybody else's problem. I'm going home with the blonde and I got the night to ourselves. Come on, amen. That's the way it is. But the longer you let that stuff go and fester in your life and you take it with you, and you take it home with you. And I haven't always been good at that. I've taken stuff home with me. I've taken challenges home and issues home and, you know, all this stuff. I ain't doing it no more. You can't take and hold on to all that junk. You got to learn to lay it aside. That doesn't mean I'm insensitive either. I'm very sensitive. I help people. But, you know, sometimes people want their issue to be your issue. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they're telling you things and all of a sudden you sense that, wait a minute, they're hoisting me right into this, right into the middle of this thing. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. No, you don't. I'm not in the middle of that. You got to learn to deal with the issue. You got to learn to deal with the conflict. And if you got a conflict with somebody and you think it's just going to go away, I guarantee you it's not. Go to the person, say, hey, what up, man? What's up, dude? And if they are mad at you or they still don't want to deal with it, you know what? The Bible says that as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And the reality of it is, it's not always depending on you. But if it is, then be at peace. Hello? You listening to me tonight? Number three, I told you I'm going to give you five short things and another scripture. Number three, learn to give everything to God in prayer. Learn to give. We have such a level of stress upon our lives that's in a direct result of shouldering the burdens without trusting God in the midst of our trial, of our stress, of our challenge. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, with supplication, there's that word, I shared it a few weeks ago, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it'll guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. When you cast it on him in the level of prayer, you're going to get through the challenges a whole lot better. Number four, trust in the word of God. Romans 15:4, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. And I said it just a few minutes ago. Sometimes you have to take the word of God and place it right over your situation, wrap it around it, and believe God in the midst of it. Whatever it is you're facing, however you're feeling, you got to take that, and that's why it's important. Reading God's word, and I don't care whether you use the Bible to read it with, whether you use an iPad, whether you use an iPhone, read it. Read it in any way that will be interesting to you. Read it. Listen to it. You know, the programs, the things on your phone that are free, YouVersion, you not only can read it, but you can click on it, and your phone will talk to you. Hallelujah. Man, I wish I had that when I first knew the Lord. That would have been so cool. Number five, fellowship with others. The worst thing you can do in the midst of being stuck and going through challenges is isolate yourself. 2 Corinthians 7:13, therefore we are relieved, this is out of the Amplified, and comforted and encouraged at the result. And in addition to our own personal consolation, we were especially delighted at the joy of Titus, because you have all set his mind at rest, soothing and refreshing his spirit. Companionship with others, fellowship with others, provides a level of comfort, of understanding, and encouragement that comes no other way. No other way. You can't get it by watching movies, and I'm not against movies, you know, but you can't get what God wants to get you apart from that relationship that you get with other people. So, stress, being stuck, dealing with pressure. Here's the scripture that I want to read to you, talking about pressure, talking about being stuck, talking about having challenges. And this is one of, you really ought to write this down. You ought to underline it. You just ought to get it, because this is so powerful. I'm reading out of the New International in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. I'm going to read verse 8 through 11. Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Verse 9, indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Wow. But this happened. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Whew, did you just hear that? Verse 10, it says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Verse 11, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Now, Paul here doesn't say what he was enduring, but it's clear that he was going through some severity of some issue. Maybe it was from things that he was dealing with at the church of Ephesus. Maybe it was some people that were coming in. So there's some scripture in Acts chapter 19 where Demetrius was coming against him. He was creating these what are called shrines of Diana, false gods, and trying to come against everything. We don't know necessarily what it was, but we know one thing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, 8, it says, we were under great pressure. We were under great pressure. And he says, far beyond our ability to endure it. This is serious, my friends. This isn't just play stuff. This is the real thing. beyond our strength, beyond human ability, even to the point of losing the battle to live. And I'm not sure that I've been there. I tell you, I've been in some dark times. Boy, but this is serious. I don't want to go there. I don't want to experience, but I'm not foolish enough to think that there are not people, and maybe people in your own circle, that are already experiencing a level of that. Maybe you are here tonight. Maybe you're going through, but this is, he goes on to say in verse 9 again, he says, indeed in our hearts, look at that, we felt the sentence of death. Now that's serious. There's a Greek word. It's only used here that describes that sentence of death, and it's a legal term that means passing a true sentence, a true and official death sentence upon somebody. In other words, Paul says, I've passed the official death sentence on myself. He knew he was done. He knew his life was over. I don't know if anybody in here has ever felt that serious. Maybe you have. Maybe you're even in here tonight and you feel that way. But then this is what he says after that. He says, this happened. Get this. If you don't hear anything else I've said tonight, here's the point. He said, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. There's no one, there's no other God, there's no other form, there's no other psychology, there's nothing else that is ever before, now, or will ever come that has the power that Jesus has, who conquered death, hell, and the grave. He who lived, died, and now he lives again. And it's the same Christ that Paul says, this happened, God didn't create it. He didn't cause it to happen. He didn't bring it on. But the enemy is a bad devil. How many of you know that? And when stuff comes to our life, this all happened. He says, not that you and I can rely on ourselves. In our own strength, we have nothing to fight against this. But it happened that we can rely on God, the God who raises the dead. Oh, praise God on that tonight. And as I read this, you know, you could think, oh, poor Paul, but how about poor me? How about poor us? How about poor humanity right now? People that are going through this challenge, this issue, this trouble in their lives. And you don't have to go far to see this in humanity. This could be anyone. This could be a young person being threatened in school. Maybe somebody that's made poor decisions in their life. And I'm going to tell you something. Poor decisions, you'll pay for those decisions, but the grace of God will help you out faster than anything that you could ever do on your own to get you out of the mess that you and I created in ourselves. And maybe as an adult, maybe you're facing hardship in your household. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe you just haven't seen what you'd hoped to see. I meet and I talk to people all the time that tell me, I just can't go on any longer. You can't if you depend on you. But if you depend on the God, not just any God, I'm talking about the Alpha and the Omega. I'm talking about the beginning and the end. I'm talking about he who was, who is, and is to come. I'm talking about the sweet rose of Sharon. I feel like preaching right now. The lily of the valley. I'm talking about he who was in the beginning. He was the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. I'm talking about the God who raises dead things and puts life inside of them. Pressure all the time. The fact is that your life and my life will never be free of pressure. Never. But you can use sometimes the pressure to make you better in life. Verse 9 says, we trust not in just any God. We trust in the God who raises the dead. Oh, I thank God for that. I could quit right now and just amen on that. And if we trust him, he'll turn the issues, the challenges, the pressures. He'll turn that place where we find ourselves stuck into. And he'll cause you to see something great out of it. I like the old story. I tell a lot of places that I travel around the country and the world. My old farm stories, I love them. I'm reminded about the old farmer. He had the mule. He was digging a hole. He was going to make this well. And this favorite mule of his just was walking along out in the field. And he fell right in the hole where this farmer had dug to build this well. Well, the farmer tried everything. He called his friend. They tried to get the mule out of there. And the mule just couldn't. They couldn't lift it up. And he just knew it was the end of the mule. He looked at the mule. Nice knowing you, mule. And he began with a shovel. And he began to dig and threw a shovel of dirt, one after the other, on the mule. Well, he didn't look in the hole to see what was happening with the mule. See, the mule was smarter than he thought. And every time a shovel of dirt would go in that hole, that old mule would just shake. And he would step up on that pile of dirt. Another shovel of dirt would go in the hole on the mule's back. He'd shake it off again, and he'd step up until sooner or later, he stepped right up out of that hole. The hole that the enemy digs for you is only purpose for God to get you out. Because we know, Romans 8:28, that all things, God doesn't create all things, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I'm telling you, if you don't love God tonight, you're doomed already. You got to love him and trust him with all your heart. He says he'll work all those things out for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I love this story. I heard this story some time ago. A workman who was employed by a high-rise building project. And it was necessary for some of the deadlines that they for them to meet because they had bad weather, for them to work at night. And while working at night on the edge of a wall, this worker slipped, lost his balance, fell over the edge of the wall, grabbed the edge of the wall with both hands, and was holding on for dear life. He began to scream, to cry, and call for someone to rescue him. But the rivet guns were going, the hammers were pounding, and no one heard him. And gradually, he felt his arms grow numb. He felt his fingers getting weak as he was suspended over the street below. And he knew he couldn't do anything. And at last, he let go, and he felt himself slip, only to go 3 inches and hit the scaffolding that was below his feet all the time. Come on. Some of you need to know tonight, you're not on your own. If you love God and you know he's with you, you can let go and trust him that he's got something underneath you, his everlasting arms, and you don't have to worry about falling in that hole. He's just got something there to pick you up and to hold you all for himself. Amen. Come on, bless him tonight. 2 Timothy 4:16-17. He says, Paul says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. Listen, don't worry about it if you're all out there on yourself. How many of you ever felt you just fighting this battle on your own? Come on, be honest. Raise your hand with me. Almost all of you. He said, at my first defense, no one stood with me. In fact, all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Boy, I could talk about that. Verse 17, he says, but the Lord, he stood with me. He was that scaffolding underneath me. And he strengthened me. 2 Peter 2:9 says, and the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from even their trials. Even the stuff that you and I create. He says, he's in verse 10, he says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver. He will. Everybody say, he will. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, he will. Come on, say it with a little bombast. Say, he will. He will continue to deliver us. He will. So what can I do? Here's 3 closing thoughts for you. What can I do? Number 1, you got to learn to rest. Got to learn to rest in him. Get to a quiet place. Mark 6:31, John the Baptist had just been beheaded. Now that's a bad day right there. You talk about a bad hair day. That's a bad day. And the nukes came to Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He says, come aside. Rest. You gotta take a break. You can't handle all that stuff on a continual 24/7 basis. Sometimes you just got to stop. Sometimes you just got to get away. I think out of all the places that I go and that I pray, the sanctuary right here is one of my favorite places in the morning. No one around sometimes during the day. I just come away and I get down here. Another place is down in my woods. I got a little four-wheel thing. I get on it and I go down there. I shut that baby off. We got this little stream down there and I just sit there and I listen to that water trickle. I just get away and I let it go. You got to have that time before the Lord. You got to find that place. And if you don't have that place, you need to find that place. There needs to be a place. Number two, be discerning in your decision making. Listen to me. You can make a mistake. God will help you out. You can make another one. He'll help you out. Don't depend on that all the time to get you out of messes. Be discerning on decision making. And you can't make good decisions when you're under a load of pressure. And you shouldn't make impulsive decisions that are not God oriented. Do I need to say that again? Are you listening to me tonight? Has anybody here ever made a wrong decision in their life before? Come on. It's okay. You can get beyond them. Just learn not to continue to make them all the time. And the last thing, last point. Don't be afraid to ask for some help. You can't be afraid to ask for help. There's people in your circle that if they can't help you, they know somebody can help you. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all time, and a brother, he's born for adversity. Don't be afraid to ask for help. My goodness, I love, you'll get to a place in your life, you'll love to call people and say, hey, what do you think about this? Help me out. Give me some understanding. Help me to discern this. Help me to understand this. In the old, I'd think at my age, I'd have all that down. No. Stuff comes to me. I get rattled. People say things. I mean, I've got some old nature still wants to climb up in me. So I need to get on the phone and call or get a hold of somebody and say, hey, pray for me. Help me. Talk to me. Be that person for me. Amen? Come on, you can get out of that place. Then I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head just for a minute. I want to pray. I just want to believe the Lord with you. Just no one looking around now. No one moving. Just your eyes closed. Your head just bowed just for a moment. I'm not going to ask anybody to come to the front. Nothing, but if you just feel like you just kind of stuck in a hole a little bit, all I want you to do is lift your hand and let God see it. Just say, it's me, Lord. I just want your help. Just wave at God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for those who came tonight, Lord, searching, hungry for that touch from heaven in their lives. I ask you, God, that you'll lift them now. Lord, let the perspective of heaven be the lens that they begin to look through. God, I know you said you'd never leave us. You said you'd never forsake us. You'd be with us. Lo, you'd be with us always. I ask you, God, for that tonight. Just for some, God, that are really deep struggling, don't know where to turn, don't know how to get out of it, have been hurt, have been crushed. Things in life have just piled up around them. God, let them know. Ooh, I feel the Spirit of God just really reaching into a heart tonight, helping. I give you praise, Lord. Just receive that from the Lord right now. I give you all the glory, Lord. I give you all the glory. We praise your holy name, God. I thank you, God, for the great testimonies that will arise out of tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the incredible response that will come forth because of your word tonight, your Holy Spirit working humanity. I pray great favor and blessing upon my brothers and my sisters tonight. I thank you, God, for everyone, for every family, for everyone here. God, may you do great. May you do mighty things in their hearts and in their lives. Hallelujah. I'm sensing this from the Lord tonight, that somebody you're just bound up inside. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a moment, because he wants to help you in a beautiful and a powerful way tonight. You don't have to stay in that place. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Listen, God, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God will lift you up out of that. He will bless you. He will help you. He will let you know that his plan has never been to hurt you. It's only been to lift you and to encourage and bring life. Praise God. Just receive that today. Receive it right now. May it be so in this house tonight, God. Whatever it is, whatever challenge, whatever hurt, whatever pain, I thank you, God, that you're more than enough. God, I just give you thanks for your word working tonight in every life. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I love you. Now listen, if you want me to pray for you before you go tonight, you come on down. I'd love to pray over you, pray for you. I just sense the Lord. He's doing something great in lives here tonight. I love you. Now listen, embrace somebody. Tell them it's so good to see him before you leave tonight, and make your plans to be here Sunday. Be in the house of God. Great, great, great time to be together with one another. I love you. Bless you. If you need prayer, I'm going to stay right up here. I'd be glad to pray for you.